Welcome to the 2013 World Under 23 Ultimate Championship Podcast. I'm Otto Chung. And for this first podcast, we're going to discuss the previous Under 23 Championship with a member of the world champion Canadian team, Thompson McKnight. Thompson, in my head, an Under 23 tournament is unofficially a college, like a world college tournament. Am I right about this?
Yeah, essentially it's all college-age players. So when I played a few years ago, I was still in university and everyone pretty much on the team was in a university or had just graduated. And I think some of the other teams were college teams that had won in their country.
Right. So they were actual college teams, not an all-star team like we had in
Canada. So I actually believe the Japanese team that we played in the final, they were the college champion.
Yep.
And then they added a couple extra guys to, you know, supplement their roster, kind of.
So the tournament, the Under 23 tournament in 2010 was in Florence.
Yeah.
What was that like? That's a beautiful city. What was it? What was it like to play ultimate there?
It was hot. Very hot. It's the hottest I've ever played ultimate in, I think. It was like 35 to 40 degrees every day.
Is it a dry heat or a humid
heat? It was very humid. Like, we would be, you know, you'd get off the bus at the fields and you'd already be just like covered in sweat. Our jersey material would essentially turn to garbage bags. It was just really hot. Like, we dealt with it fine. I think we're kind of used to really humid summers here. But some of the Irish team had to get some medical assistance from dehydration and overheat. So, that was probably the biggest thing, is just how hot it was.
So at the time, in 2010, was the Under 23 the biggest tournament you've ever been to?
It was certainly the first world tournament I've ever been to.
Right.
I'd been to Florida for the UPA championships a couple of times already. In terms of scale, that's probably bigger, you know, better competition. You're paying against like the best teams in the world.
Right.
It was definitely a big tournament for me. It was the first time I played for Team Canada. I missed out when I was a junior.
Right.
On playing for Team Canada, so it was exciting.
So I think my experience playing at a world tournament, just meeting people from other countries that speak different languages, but we all play the same sport.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. Canada and Colombia kind of always have an interesting relationship. And so we played them twice in the tournament. And I think they were at the same hotel as us. And so we'd see them, like, we had like a bar, two bars in our hostel and a swimming pool. So we'd kind of interact with them. And there were some other teams there too. I think the Finnish were there. And you get to meet them. And this tournament, the one in Florence, they had a pool facility right by the fields. And so, you know, after the games, people would go to the pool and cool off. And it was really a good community atmosphere.
Did you feel it was more social than, say, the Nationals in Florida?
It definitely was. I think one thing is it was a serious tournament, but because you only play one game a day, you're not super dialed in and super focused the whole day. Like, you finish and you're done for the day. You play
Your game. It's a 5-day tournament, is it, or is it a?
It's 7 days.
Okay.
Almost all the world's like WIFDIF tournaments are 7 days.
Yeah.
Usually a Saturday to a Saturday kind of thing, or like a Saturday night to the next Sunday or something like that.
So the schedule is like each day one like game to 17 type of game.
Yeah. So they go to 17 and. Some days you may have two games,
right?
But in general, you're playing one or two a day. And so you come to the fields pretty much, you know, like the standard hour before game, get warmed up, play. And then it could be, you know, 1 o'clock in the afternoon at that point, and you're done for the day.
Plenty of social time with other teams, your teammates, because you basically you may not know half your team, right?
We'd had a weekend in Canada, in Vancouver beforehand, before going over there, where we had like a lot of social events. So we were pretty well, knew each other. And we also arrived a couple of days early in Florence and had some practices to get to know each other a bit more. But
so what was the quality of play you found in 2010?
It was good. Not having the States there in 2010 definitely lowered the level a bit, but, there were some definitely teams that surprised us, some teams that, you know, were competitive. The Australians were very competitive, and you know, they took it seriously. They had, you know, coaches of several different coaches, trainers, and like we'd heard about their kind of regiment before the tournament. You know, the Japanese.
I think Australians
suppressors.
Just take every sport seriously, though. That's
I think that's the way it is with them. And we had a pretty competitive match with them too. So,
and the Japanese are always difficult. You played them in the finals, I guess.
Yeah, we did play them in the finals, and we hadn't got to play them beforehand, so we didn't really know much about them. And the Japanese style is a lot different.
This is what I get from a Japanese style, because they're shorter than North Americans. They play a very – they grind. Like, they do a lot of short throws, and it's a lot of grinding back and forth. And a North American game is a lot of long hucks.
Yeah, we tend to kind of stand still and throw our long hucks. Yeah. Like, you know, you get it to your thrower, and then he'll stand there, wait for the throw, and throw it. And they throw kind of really, you know, odd inside out to a guy, and then he'll huck it. So they still puck,
okay.
But it's from a position where, in the North American game, you don't expect the throw to come from. So you're just kind of out of position, and they're very accurate, very precise with their throws, and it's effective. And it challenged us in that game, and we were lucky kind of to come out on top. We had to go to 19 to win. So
yeah, jeez. So I'm looking at the list of teams that played in Open in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Slovakia, do you remember them? Or like, there's a lot of teams, like a lot of countries. I'm surprised they actually play Ultimate. You know,
yeah, played them. I think.
Yeah,
I have a jersey. One of them.
So I'm looking at this. Like there's a wide range of skill level at this tournament. It seems.
Definitely, there was. We had, you know, in the finals, 19-18 final, and then we actually, the Italians didn't score on us.
Right.
So there was a wide range. They do have a co-ed division at the U23, and so we found that some countries that we expected to be a bit stronger and open had actually pooled the resources into a co-ed team.
Interesting, okay.
Which
so did you find that maybe just by watching the co-ed, the mixed level, that was a better ultimate than open?
I don't know if it's, I mean, better ultimate, like, you know, being an open player, I always find that, you know, playing single gender is kind of the most competitive way, just because, you know, you don't have that kind of stigmatism of playing with the other gender, and you don't get those kind of weird dynamics sometimes, you know, it's cool.
Yeah, it is a different game. I think of open as a more a power game, and the women's game is more strategy, and mixed is a little bit of both, right?
I think that's kind of a good way to describe it, where it is a power game, and it's a lot more physical, which, you know, you don't really get in that. You don't get the physicality when you're playing mixed.
Right.
You know, when you play man defense and you're covering a guy, you don't get the same level of aggressiveness, I would say.
Yeah.
It kind of brings up the aggressiveness when there's all guys in the field. But I think when there's women mixed in with guys, we kind of tend to dial it back a bit. Yeah, kind of testosterone that we...
So you felt that in 2010 was a strategy in some countries, like Great Britain, they win co-ed. You think they may have pulled people off their open team to put on into a co-ed team? Or
I don't think we played Great Britain at U23s in Florence, which I was kind of disappointed. I wanted to play them, but they had a strong open team as well.
Okay.
They did well, but... I mean, Great Britain's a fairly, you know, I think they have a pretty good program for Ultimate, so I feel like they were a country that could have had multiple teams. But, like, when you look at, say, like, the Italian team, like, I think their better guys were playing in the co-ed division. And
right, okay.
And some other, kind of the mainland European countries were more into co-ed.
Right.
And as you said, they're developing their programs, so... you know, you kind of start playing Ultimate at co-ed.
At a co-ed level,
It's like the way you play rec, like you play high school, like whatever. When you first start playing Ultimate, it's generally co-ed. I think that would draw people. And then when you get to the competitive levels and people want to kind of ramp up the athleticism, they kind of go to single gender, I want to say.
Yep.
But, so that's kind of the way we felt it happen there.
So looking back, now that you've played a couple of years with GOAT, right? And looking back at the skill levels or what you learned from playing in the under 23 tournament, are you a better player because of this tournament?
I would think so, yeah. I mean, it was definitely interesting to play with different people, because I'd kind of played for GOAT 2 years before that, developed a certain style, and then all of a sudden, you know, we were brought in with these West Coast guys, some guys from Ottawa, back from Montreal, so a few guys from the States even that had Canadian passports that played with us.
Right.
And so, you know, just realizing the different ways to do things, because, you know, playing on one team for 2 years straight, you kind of just know, like, this is the way we're going to do it,
yeah,
and we're going to do it that way every time. And then you have to play with a guy who's going to do something different, and kind of you learn new techniques and you learn how to do them, and you kind of broaden your game a bit. And it also helps, like, you can step in anywhere and play, right? Like, because you have to learn these different playing styles.
You can't fall into habits. You have to actually start thinking about your next. Right.
You're more unpredictable, I guess, when you're playing. Like, when you move back to your club team, you're more unpredictable, in a sense.
Cool. Okay, so one last question. This podcast, we hope that, you know, players from around the world or first time, or you know, they're going to listen to this. And do you have any advice for these players that are going to join, like, come to Toronto and play in this tournament?
Yeah, I mean, just enjoy it. You know, prepare yourself properly. Toronto can be hot in the summer. Like, you know, it gets hot here. Prepare and work for it, because if you want to be successful at this tournament, you have to, you know, work hard. Just have fun, because that's what these world tournaments are. Like, you know, I've been to two world events, and yeah, both times you just got to enjoy yourself. You don't want to get too serious. I mean, you got to be serious when you're playing, but, you know, it is about the community, and it is about meeting people. It's about more than the game. And I think that's what this one kind of celebrates, that you get in your college age, you know, you want to meet people, and it's a good way to make friends all around the world, right? And you can play with people who you can meet people who you share a passion with.
I'd like to thank Thompson McKnight for his time, and we'll see you in Toronto this summer.